We've talked about commitment. Commitment to Jesus Christ is a life-giving commitment. When we look at the world doesn't view commitment as commitment. Just look at why there are so many divorces in this world. People say that they are committed to each other, but seemingly give up so easily and resulting in divorce. A man's word. I promise you that I will. Politicians' promises. We live in a world where a man's word is not his bond. We live in a world where if someone makes you a commitment, they may or may not follow through. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about commitment and how important it is for each of us to realize the commitment that we have. A couple of years ago, right after I started here, we talked about total commitment. And I showed you this chart. Commitment is a promise that you make. It's a responsibility that you have. If you make a commitment to someone, or you make a promise to someone, then you're responsible to fulfill that. It's a resolution. Probably just in a few short days, many of us will start thinking about making New Year's resolutions. And what we're saying is we're making New Year's commitments to lose weight, to read the Bible, to do something. It becomes our duty then. And when there is a commitment, there is a duty. And we must be dedicated to it. When we are not dedicated to a commitment, we're not going to fulfill it or achieve it. When we talk about total commitment, the word total just means complete, absolute, entire, all. Now, when we think about making some commitment to someone and we say, I'm going to be totally committed to, and you fill in the blank, whatever that is, total commitment, these are the kinds of synonyms that would help us to understand what we are signing up for. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 37, there is the example of someone making a total commitment. And you remember the great story that's there about Philip was called down to preach to a man from Ethiopia. And he begins from the book that the eunuch is reading from, the book of Isaiah. And the scripture says that Philip began to preach unto him Jesus. And we notice in verse 37, or verse 36, the eunuch says, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I think that all of us that are members of the body of Jesus Christ, we are quite familiar with that story. And we have ourselves emphasized to ourselves and to others that this is a commitment that this eunuch was making. He was making a commitment to believe in Jesus Christ with all of his heart, because Philip answered his question, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He didn't say, if you sort of believe, if you kind of believe, if you just, well, with, you know, about half and half. With all of your heart. We understand that to be total commitment. So I think it's important for us to understand total commitment is something that you do when you obey the gospel. Now, we'll have more to say about that in just a moment. But this passage in Hebrews 3 and verse 14 is another chart or passage that I showed us about 2 years ago. And I'm sure all of you remember that. And I think that it has been proven time and time again that most people's remembrance of a sermon is probably about 2 weeks or less. So I'm really, really bragging on you to say that you remember this from 2 years ago. But this particular passage reminds us of this total commitment, and it says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end." So what Philip was saying to the eunuch, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. But see, that was a commitment issue. Not just for the moment to believe with all your heart, to be baptized and have your sins washed away, and then 5 minutes later, the commitment is completed, it's through, you're done. That commitment extends through all of your life. This passage addresses Christians. So you're on this side of having been baptized. The text again says, "For we become partakers of Christ, we are in fellowship with Christ, we have a relationship with Christ, if we hold fast," that's total commitment. "If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm unto the end." Now, just for a brief moment, let me suggest to us that we see man's part in this commitment that we make to God. When you hear the word, there are those who hear the word but don't hear it. Here is used in Scripture too. Certainly, you hear it, you hear the words. But the word "hear" also means in Scripture that you understand it, you comprehend it. And when you hear the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing the word of God." So when you hear God's word, you understand it, that produces faith. And when faith comes, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will all die in your sins." So what you hear from the gospel of Jesus Christ is you hear that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You hear the good news that each of us as sinners can be saved. And when you hear that, if you believe it, you understand it, you comprehend it, then you accept it, you believe it. And then the commitment begins that you change your life. We've said many times before that the gospel demands response. So when you hear the truth, you believe it and accept it, you're committing to do what it says. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." When the apostles were asked on the day of Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When they heard the gospel that they had killed the Son of God, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." See, the gospel demands a response. The response is our committing to what we've heard and understood and believe. We want to change our lives. So we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We give our allegiance to Him. Now maybe we've believed that for a long time. Maybe we've believed that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, there's lots of folks in this world that believe in Jesus but have never obeyed Him. What's different here is that you are making a commitment, a total commitment. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven." Here is Jesus making a commitment to us. If you will give yourself totally to confessing me and believing me and obeying me as the Son of God, I will confess you to my Father. So it's a covenant. It's a commitment. It's a resolution. And we're baptized because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So again, it's something that God is offering to us through the good news of Jesus Christ. He's saying, "You're sinners, you're lost, but I'll save you. You need to be baptized." So when we go into the watery grave of baptism, we're making a commitment to Him, to believe in Him and to trust in Him, and He'll forgive you of your sins. But then he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. It's something that you commit to for the rest of your life. Now, I think all of us, hopefully, have realized that as being children of God. But now I want you to notice another part of this commitment. It's God's part. God gave His grace. His grace was given unto us, and every man and every person upon this planet that has ever lived, is living, will ever live, has access to the grace of God. But here's the commitment part. You must come to Him by faith. We are saved by grace through faith, Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. So God's commitment is this. He didn't say, I'll just save everybody. I'll just give you everybody my grace. No commitment. He didn't say that. We are saved by grace through faith. So man's part is to hear and to believe and obey. God says, I'll extend my grace to you when you have faith. And then He says, I'll forgive you all your sins. We have been saved from each and every sin upon that commitment. So go back to our story in Acts 8. Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch says, how can I except some man help me? Philip sat down and from that very passage began to preach Jesus unto him. The eunuch saw, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they both got down out of the chariot and went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And he went on his way rejoicing. Why was the eunuch rejoicing? Because he had received the commitment from God to be forgiven of all of his sins. God gave him grace because the eunuch gave total commitment to Jesus Christ. You see that? God promises His children, those who have been forgiven, those who have faith, those that have been obedient to His Son, He promises to give us all of our needs. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord spoke in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Those things, contextually, was those things of necessity of life. Food, clothing, shelter. God will give us those things. We must trust in our God. It's a part of our commitment to Him and His commitment to us. He will provide for us. You need not worry about what you're going to eat. You need not worry about the things of necessity of life. Because the commitment that God has made to us to supply those things is a promise that we can trust in and believe in all of our lives. Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And again, there must always be an addendum to that for us in rich America. Jesus does not make a commitment to us to provide everything we want. He does not make a commitment to us to continue to provide for us the extravagancies that we have. He did make a commitment that He will provide our needs. I'm sure that most of us, including myself, exponentially, the line between need and want has been erased long ago. We have so much. We have prospered so much. It would probably be difficult for us to write down exactly what our bare minimum needs would be. But yet, is this not the grace of God that He has blessed us and given us so very, very much above and beyond what we're able to do? I made mention last week of the Zimbabwe brethren, and I want to make mention of that again. Our brother Phil, he mentioned that just a moment ago, that there's a handout back there. And you know what this is being provided for? This is not being provided so that we can brag, so that we can be arrogant, so that, you know, it's all about us. This year alone, the church at Anderson has sent $45,232 to Zimbabwe. Now, you aren't to be impressed by that. In what way? I'm going to say to us, first and primarily, as I said last Sunday, that God has so greatly blessed each of us personally and as a church to be able to take care of the needs that God made a covenant, a commitment to all brethren in all places that He would provide their needs. Now, how did God do that this time? Through us. You need to see that. I don't care where you're from, $45,000 is a lot of money. The elders would want it mentioned that anybody personally that wants to give more is welcome to do so personally. And a number of you have. Why would you do that? Because of your commitment to God. Is there enough money in your bank account that you could give for the needs of other brethren that would even begin to pay for the forgiveness of your sins? We all know there is no amount of money that we could ever give that would ever pay for that. But what do we try to do? Pay back as much as we can. Try to help as much as we can. And I don't know that we should even begin to think in terms of paying back God. But yet God loves a cheerful giver, does He not? We're in a season of giving. But to us as Christians, who worship on S-O-N day, every first day of the week, we are givers. And God loves a cheerful giver. And we give because we've made a commitment to God. God has made a commitment to us. And that's a beautiful thing, brethren. It's a wonderful blessing that we share today. And He's going to reward us in heaven. Now you say it however you want to say it. Some brethren are not satisfied that we say it gracefully enough. Some brethren get all upset because we don't say it work enough. Obviously, the Bible teaches the combination of grace and works. But here's the deal. Here's the way I look at it. And if I'm not looking at it scripturally, please correct me. God does offer us a reward system. And He simply says this: you make a total commitment to Me, and I'll give you heaven. You give up on your commitment to Me, and I will give you hell. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity all of us have to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. And how much does He want? If you're thinking about making New Year's resolutions, maybe right now would be a good time to start. You can't become a Christian by just giving part of your heart. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ and just give a little bit. That's not the way it works. Let me conclude this morning by emphasizing a passage that I believe is very powerful to us as Christians. And when we eat the Lord's Supper, we think about Jesus Christ and the great sacrifice He made for us. And it is certainly motivational to us. In what way? I think it's motivational this way. Jesus Christ was so dedicated and committed to His Father. And 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says that we have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. So each and every, and I'm emphasizing this just to make sure we're in the right frame of mind. Every Son, S-O-N, day, when we worship the Lord, and we think about this great supper and what it represents, the sacrifice of Jesus, it ought to recharge your batteries. It ought to motivate you. It ought to recharge and fill you full of zeal and enthusiasm. Because the one that this bread represents the body of, and the one that this fruit of vine represents the blood of, is someone that gave it all. Total commitment. Jesus Christ was totally committed to the Father. In the garden, you remember when He prayed? We've talked about this before. In the garden, did Jesus, as the man, want to die? I, as a man, do we want to die? Jesus prayed 3 times to His Father. If it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. That would be the prayer of any man. Certainly we see in that great text the humanity of Jesus Christ. He became a man. But He was totally committed to His Father. He says, not my will, but your will be done. When it comes to life and death, could we pray that prayer? Please, please God, I don't want to die. But your will be done. I'll do whatever you think's best. What did Jesus do after that? He gave Himself. He said in John 10, He says, no man takes my life from me, but I give it freely. So Jesus, in His prayer in Gethsemane, He asked God, let's do something differently where I don't have to die. But His total commitment to His Father was, not my will but yours be done. Jesus died on the cross because that was the Father's will. Are you committed to God like that? If you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as you should have, that's the commitment you made. God first. Period. Second, Jesus was dedicated, totally committed to His Father's Word. Go back and read the book of Matthew chapter 4. The temptation in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus did not eat, nor did He drink. He was weakened. And yet, the devil came and tempted Him. And 3 different times, the devil tempted Him. And each and every time, Jesus answered with God's word. What a powerful lesson, brethren, for each of us. All of us in weakened states, we become vulnerable to temptation, to the devil. And he is going to attack. Do not ever be so naive as to think, just because you're going through a difficult time, that the devil will stay away from you. When you're going through the most horrendous time in your life, the devil will spend overtime at your house tempting you. And the way you deal with it, it's just like our Lord did. There's even a point in which the devil quotes Scripture to Jesus. And Jesus responded with the Word of God. And it is a marvelous example for all of us, because even our friends, our loved ones, our brethren can quote Scripture to us to try to justify us doing the wrong thing. But it was Jesus who was so totally committed to His Father. He would not allow anyone to take the Word of God and abuse it and misuse it so in to distrust and disobey His Father. There's where I need to be. I need to be of heart and trust and total commitment to His Word. That I not take passages out of their context. I not take passages for my own personal benefit and make it suit my own situation. Shame on us when we do that. Because all we're doing is giving up our commitment to our Lord. Jesus could have turned those rocks into bread. But He didn't. Jesus Christ was totally committed to God's plan. He even said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. For you have more concern for man's ways than God's way." Oh, that I could say that. Oh, that I could see that in my own life. When I look at my own ways, my own ideas, and my own thoughts, and I slightly, little by little, cut away from the commitment I made to my Lord all those years ago. Our prayer should be that God help us to be able to have the eyes of wisdom, to understand and to know God's plan thoroughly and specifically. God's plan, brethren, is not to just use His plan when it's your convenience. When you're totally committed to Jesus Christ, you serve Him, period. And what if we got to make the ultimate sacrifice too? Do we really think in terms of giving our lives for Jesus Christ? I mean, literally, give your life for Jesus Christ. You see, there's more to it than that. Even the Apostle Paul talked about it. He says, Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Think about that. If we knew of a Christian who gave themselves to be burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus Christ, we would in glorious terms talk about the great faith of this individual. But our Lord, through Paul, said, if you don't do it for the right reason, how would we possibly know a person's heart and the right reason? We don't. You see, it can look really good on the outside, brethren. And we can stand in every service that is available here to be a part of. And we can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." And we may think, what a wonderful Christian. You don't know their heart. God warns us about that. We judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And yet we have brothers and sisters in Christ who make little or no effort to be a part of the working of the group and are convinced they're going to heaven. You see, what Jesus taught His disciples is not just to be a disciple of word, but a disciple of deed. What is the ultimate way you prove that? By making the ultimate sacrifice. Could you give your life for Jesus Christ on the burning stake? Yet you find it hard to read your Bible every day? You see, commitment is something that we must take very seriously. Not just when the crowds are watching, but when you're by yourself in the privacy of your own room. What kind of servant of Christ are we? But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the soul. I love those words. Those are powerful words to me. And I have to ask myself a question. Does that describe me? Am I weak? Am I wishy-washy? Am I here and not here? Do I do and not do? Is my religion only what's in these four walls? I hope you have understood over the past 2.5 years. Oh, I fussed and rant and raved and preached and taught about you need to be here at services. Every service. As best you can. God knows your situation. God knows why you're here. God knows why you're not here. But you should be frightened to death about that fact. You can justify it to me. You can justify it to the elders. You don't have to do that. But God knows. He holds you to your commitment. What did He say in the parable? Once you've grabbed the plow and you're going forward, don't be like Lot's wife and do what? Don't look back. Keep ahead. I can't judge that of you. You can't judge that of me. There might be some signs. There might be some fruit on the tree. Commitment. Commitment soaks clear through to the bone. It's who you are all the time. Are you committed to Christ? Is she your everything? Or just when it's convenient? You've listened well today. Thank you so much. I think about my brethren in Zimbabwe. Taka and Trimor have become very dear to me and their communications with me. And if you want to have some really encouraging pictures and videos and conversation with two super servants, and I don't think I'm doing them any injustice at all to say it that way. They are super servants of God. They put all of us to shame. But when they send those videos of them sitting around and singing in their worship services, sitting on the dirt ground, and praising God and listening to God's word hours on end. Walking miles to be able to serve the Lord. To worship the Lord. Yet we'll probably have people miss church tonight because they're home under a Christmas tree opening gifts. Maybe you can make that work. Think about your commitment to the Lord. Think about if you were in Zimbabwe. Would you stay home and open gifts? Or would you go be with your brethren and sing praises to God? What am I talking about? I'm talking about commitment. We all make choices every day. It's not just about coming to church. It's what you do every day. Aren't you glad God's going to be your judge and not me? You think about that. God is going to be your judge. And He knows. I love you, brethren. Love being with you. It's a great privilege to be in the same building with people that love the Lord. And there's so many of you here that love the Lord with all your heart. It's encouraging to me. Thank you so much for your love. If you're not a Christian, you've never made the commitment to the Lord, have you? You're going to walk out this building having an opportunity to make a commitment to a God that loves you that much. Enjoy those Christmas presents. Enjoy all those blessings of family. And one more time, refuse to obey your Lord. May the God of peace be with you in your rebellion. Are we children of God? Are we disciples of Jesus Christ? Or are we not? Why not come today to the one who loves you and cares for you? What will your answer be as we stand and sing?